What an interesting story. The Royals have signed a former Cy Young winner to a free agent deal. Now, before you get overly excited, I'm not sure if there's anything to read into much with this. But we'll talk about it. After hours here on 96.5 The Fan, Logan Weber alongside producer Jackson Ogden. Julio Sanchez is back in the production booth as well, making sure that things are running the way that they're supposed to. And of course, the story that I'm referencing here is Dallas Keuchel signing a minor league deal with the Kansas City Royals. Keuchel, who burst onto the Major League Baseball scene with the Houston Astros, winning the American League Cy Young in 2015, a year that is going to live in the hearts and minds of Royals fans forever, obviously, went to two All-Star games. He had seven really, really good years for the Houston Astros. But since 2018, it has been a difficult one for Dallas Keuchel. He has bounced around the league. He's pitched for now seven. This will be the eighth team now that the Dallas Keuchel will have played for now, including the Astros. Since 2018, though, this guy has pitched for the Braves, the White Sox, the Diamondbacks, the Rangers, the Twins, and the Brewers. Since 2019, Keuchel has a 5.03 ERA across 84 starts. His strikeout per nine is at a 6, and his walks per nine is at nearly 3.5. He last pitched with the Milwaukee Brewers a season ago. June of last year, he was released by the Brewers after going with a after pitching only 16 2/3 of an inning with an ERA of 5.4. So what does this mean for the Royals, right? What is the best case scenario, I think, for the Kansas City Royals and for Dallas Keuchel? Best case scenario for Dallas Keuchel is he sees a career resurgence in Kansas City and he makes a push for the number five starter in the Royals rotation, right? Michael Lorenzen has been very up and down for the Kansas City Royals this year. It appears more and more likely, almost daily, that Cole Reagans will not pitch for the Kansas City Royals again this year. They put him on the 60-day IL when they called up Cam Devaney, meaning that, I mean, he's not going to be available for baseball until the middle of September at this point. And depending on where the Royals season is at, is he going to be back with the Royals this year? I don't think it's likely. So that number five starter spot becomes the purview of Dallas Keuchel, because Seth Lugo is now the guy at the top of the rotation having a phenomenal year. Michael Wacha, consistent on the bump as he has been for the last several seasons. And then you've got Chris Bubich and Noah Cameron, who have been revelations for this Royals team this year. So for Dallas Keuchel, him as your number five starter makes the most sense. That's the ceiling, I think, for him. Best case scenario for the Royals, Dallas Keuchel never sees time in Kansas City. Hate to be the one to say that, but if Dallas Keuchel doesn't come to Kansas City, that means a couple of things happen for the Royals. Number one, Michael Lorenzen figures it out. He starts to pitch a little bit more consistently, which he has been a little bit more consistent. I mean, good Lord, the guy pitched an absolute gem last week for this Royals team. So that would be a great, great situation for the Royals. If Michael Lorenzen has a little bit of a return to form and you don't need Dallas Keuchel. If Keuchel never shows up in Kansas City, that also tells me one other thing. They stay healthy in the pitching rotation. Nobody else goes down with a significant injury that causes them to miss any kind of time. He's just trying to hang around, right, is Dallas Keuchel. If he shows up in AAA Omaha and has a sub-2 ERA across five starts and he returns to 2015 Dallas Keuchel, great. I don't think it's likely. I think he ends up in AAA, or, and here's the thought, not that the Royals need him to be that guy, but there was a starting pitcher, Royals traded for him years and years ago, showed up as a starter, really struggled, and the Royals decided, hey, let's move this guy to the bullpen and see what happens. and Wade Davis, the reliever, was born. Right? Dallas Keuchel doesn't have dominant stuff. He was always a guy that was great with pitch location and brought phenomenal off-speed stuff. Dallas Keuchel was never a guy. He was, I mean, at his best, 92 to 94 with his fastball, right? I mean, he was low 90s with his velocity, even at the height of his major league career. He always brought great location and great breaking ball stuff. That was Dallas Keuchel. And that reminds me, that's a little bit Wade Davis-esque to a certain extent. So is Dallas Keuchel open and willing to an avenue of becoming a relief pitcher? Right? I mean, he's 37 years old. He's not a starting pitcher in Major League Baseball anymore. I really don't believe that. But he's always been a starter. 282 career games pitched in, 267 starts. And the guy has not had an ERA below 3 since 2020. The COVID-shortened year, he had a 1.99 ERA with the Chicago White Sox across 11 starts. Prior to that, a 3.75. He had a 3.74 in 2018. All right, his best year was 2015 when he was 27 years old. I mean, obviously, it's a catchy headline. Oh, the Royals are signing former Cy Young winner Dallas Keuchel. It was 10 years ago. I don't think Dallas Keuchel makes his way to Kansas City, barring something unfortunate happening for the Kansas City Royals. I think that is what we're looking at here.
Barring them potentially selling Lugo and needing another starter in the bigs, you know? I mean, they have Rich Hill still and Dallas Keuchel down there, so if they do end up trading Lugo or maybe even Lorenzen, I doubt Lorenzen, but just potentially, you know.
That's a fair point.
If they trade a couple arms, now they have a couple veteran arms down there that can come up, especially with Reagan's on the IL. And I know he's eligible to come back on August 5th, but that doesn't necessarily mean he will. So
that's a fantastic point you bring up, one that I hadn't thought of. If Lugo does go, then yeah, maybe that does make Keuchel's your number 5 starter. But in my view, if Dallas Keuchel becomes your number 5 starter, you're not making the postseason.
Well, you'd rather a young guy get those reps than at that point, wouldn't you?
Right.
If you're really not going to make the playoffs, then wouldn't you rather that just be somebody in AAA, you know, a younger prospect other than Dallas Keuchel, who outside of the next few months is not a part of your plans?
Right. And it's, you look at the Royals' top prospects. I mean, it's not going to be Ben Cadurna. It's not going to be Blake Wolters. You've already got Noah Cameron up with the major league team. David Shields is, I mean, he's still in single A, so that's not going to happen. Mazzucato is still in high A. Who's the starting Steven Zovac? Could he be a potential name? Lewinder Avila?
It probably wouldn't be one of the top 30 guys from looking at what they have currently. It'd probably be just somebody else that they've had in the system.
I mean, the only guy that I could think, a younger, quote-unquote guy, Chandler Champlain.
Yeah.
Potentially, right? 25 years old, sitting in AAA.
I could see them bringing back up, and I know they brought him up in a bullpen type of role earlier, but Andrew Hoffman was brought up earlier this year.
Right.
Potentially, you move Lynch to the starting rotation.
That's exactly where I was going next. Yeah. Talking about bullpen guys, does Daniel Lynch, who's had a great year this year as a reliever.
Well, look, it worked for Bubich to go from starter pen back to the starting rotation. It kind of worked for Duffy back in the day when the Royals did that. I don't think it's impossible that Lynch sees himself back in the starting five eventually.
I've kind of looked at that as sort of your in case of emergency break glass sort of scenario, that Daniel Lynch could become your number 5 starter in a spot role a little bit. And then, okay, yeah, then you put Dallas Keuchel in that role if you feel like it, of a starter turned reliever that you can use in long relief situations if it becomes necessary. But for this Royals team, long relief appearances have not been necessary. That's how good this rotation has been. Speaking of Seth Lugo and the possibility of a trade, Lynch is on the IL with elbow issues. How long is he going to be on the IL? That's an interesting, that becomes a conversation. You know, Lynch, somebody else says Lynch is so comfortable in the pen, they won't move him no matter what. Fair, right?
I think another question you ask, and we really haven't gotten any updates, is what about Alec Marsh,
right,
who was your five last year? He's been hurt all year. Obviously, he would have to do some rehab starts before anything happened.
Yeah, but he's had a setback recently, I think, right, in his rehab. Kyle Wright, what about him?
Yeah,
that's a guy who won 20 games with the Braves
the
a couple
that I
of
think
years
everybody
ago.
Everybody in Kansas City is kind of wondering, what's the deal here? Because they trade for him in the 2023 offseason going into 2024. Everybody knows he has Tommy John, that he won't play. But they thought 2025 he'd be a staple of the rotation, and he just hasn't been. So, you know, some guys, Tommy John, it takes longer than others. But at this point, I kind of think the Royals don't even know what they're going to get out of him.
Yeah, I mean, a guy who won a World Series and won 20 games very early in his career that kind of just shocked everybody. But the injuries have been not great for him. But when does he come back, right? I mean, he's started rehabs, but he got recalled. He started a rehab assignment, and then he got a setback back in May and got, you know, called back in. I don't know. But I say all this. You were talking about the trade of Seth Lugo, and could that be an avenue for somebody like Dallas Keuchel? Earlier today, Jeff Passan released an article on ESPN. Talking about the trade deadline. Here are the top moves for contenders. And he's got a list of contending teams here in baseball. Right? He mentions a few teams that could work their way into the conversation. The Rangers, the Twins, the Diamondbacks, and the Royals. So those four teams not considered contenders, according to Jeff Passan. So he goes through and he says he's got the Detroit Tigers. Hey, the best match for them, David Bednar of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Great reliever for Pittsburgh this year. Then he goes to the Houston Astros. His best match, Seth Lugo of the Kansas City Royals. Says that the cost is going to be heavy for the Houston Astros, as it should be. And that would be a welcome sign for Royals fans. The problem for me with this situation, if you look top to bottom, you look at farm rankings, right? Which teams have the best farm systems in baseball? Which teams have the worst? The Houston Astros have one of the worst farm systems in Major League Baseball because they have gone all in the past 10 years, right? Trying to improve upon themselves and bring in guys and keep guys around. I mean, look at those teams they had, right? Keuchel, Hader, Bregman, Altuve, Springer, Correa, Verlander, who they traded for. They traded for Grinke. I mean, they did all of these things that depleted what they had in their farm system. And the guys that they had that were great in their farm system were with the team. I mentioned Bregman and Altuve and Correa and Springer, Yordan Alvarez, who's missed a huge chunk of this season. What could the Royals possibly get back in return from the Houston Astros for Seth Lugo? Because their farm system is pretty bare right now.
It feels like if the Astros are going to be the team to land Lugo, they're going to have to send some major league talent. Whereas if it's the Mets or the Cubs, their farm systems are deep enough. They've got some prospects to the point to where they don't have to necessarily give up a current contributor to the big league squad. But I agree with you on Houston that their farm system's not very good, and they really don't have many tradable assets that make sense for them as a contender right now.
I mean, top prospects in their system, I look at an outfielder in Jacob Melton, who is with, I mean, he's played a little bit with the Houston Astros this year. He's hitting 240 in less than 30 at bats. You know, in AAA this year, he was hitting 254, but he's dealing with an injury right now. The guy's only played in 28 games this year. Cam Smith, he's in AA right now. I mean, that's it. That's kind of the top of their league. I'm looking at Prospects 1500, and they've got a tier list. Tier one, players with high expectations of both making the majors and playing at an all-star level for a number of years. The Astros, according to this Prospects 1500, do not have a player in that tier. In tier two, they've got players with an above average expectation of making the majors and being a solid contributor. Smith and Melton are the only two guys in that tier. And then it goes to tier three, players with an average expectation of making the majors and being a solid contributor. They've got Bryce Matthews, who's a shortstop slash third baseman. A shortstop doesn't help the Royals. Neither does a third baseman, really, because Mikel Garcia has become who Mikel Garcia is. Luis Baez, who's an outfielder playing in double A. Walker Janik, a catcher sitting in high A right now. The last thing the Royals need is another catching prospect. You've already got two of them in your top five with Blake Mitchell and Carter Jensen. Zach Dezenzo, a first and third baseman who's playing with the team this year. I don't think it makes sense. I don't think that there's a player or two or three that makes sense for the Astros to send to the Royals from the Royals' point of view.
I think there's another aspect of this that GMs are a little hesitant to trade great players anyway. And Lugo has become a great player for the Royals. That doesn't feel like an overstatement at this point. Look at what just happened to the GM of the Nationals. He made one of the greatest deals ever when he got rid of Soto. He got James Woodbeck, CJ Abrams, and Mackenzie Gore fired. Doesn't matter. So it's like you might even get great prospects in return, but if the results don't happen immediately, you might be out the door. And so I think there's a part of the Royals that, hey, if we're even somewhat in it, we don't want to trade Lugo.
Yeah, for a guy that's sitting with a 2.67 ERA right now, after he finished second in the Cy Young voting last year, the market for somebody like that is going to have to be worth your while. I understand Lugo's 35 years old, right? I understand Seth Lugo has got, this is the final year of his deal. He does have a player option, but his value on the open market is going to be such that he's probably not going to sign that player option, whether he stays in Kansas City or not. Now, an organization like the Houston Astros, are they going to be able to afford a more lucrative long-term deal for Seth Lugo in the offseason to keep him around than the Royals? Yep.
They just cut a lot of costs. I mean, they've let Bregman out the door. Kyle Tucker, they traded away. Yep. Springer, Correa. They've lost a lot of talent. So.
Yeah, and the thing that the Astros need right now is pitching.
For sure. I mean, they've got Hunter Brown. They've got Framber Valdez. And then after that, it's kind of like they need answers.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out Hunter Brown. He's in the All-Star game. Just got announced as a replacement himself. 913-586-7965 is our number. Much more coming up. Stick around. You're listening to After Hours. Logan Weber alongside Jackson Ogden on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Boy, the hypothetical trades in Major League Baseball just keep coming. We were talking about Jeff Passan and, you know, his trade deadline possibilities. He's got the Toronto Blue Jays on here trading for Mitch Keller of the Pirates as the best match. The Yankees possibly trading for Eugenio Suarez of the Arizona Diamondbacks, which would only make the Yankees more nauseating. But it's the perfect fit. You want to talk about power hitters? Eugenio Suarez showing up in New York in a lineup that features Aaron Judge. That'd be fun. It'd be fun to watch. I'd hate it, but it would be fun to watch. The Rays and Griffin Jacks of the Twins. The Mariners trading for Josh Naylor of the Diamondbacks. The Red Sox getting Ryan Helsley from the Cardinals. Another team that's a contender, which I find interesting. Dodgers with Johan Duran. The Cubs trading for Sandy Alcantara of the Miami Marlins. Former Cy Young winner, who's struggled over the last couple of years since he won that Cy Young between injuries and his on-field production. But that would be a fun one for a former Royal or Cardinals top prospect to be at the top of the rotation for the Cubs. That would definitely feather some Redbird fans. The Phillies trading for Emmanuel Clase of the Guardians. I've seen a lot of guys going out of the AL Central, which I find kind of fascinating. The Mets trading for Zach Gallen of the Diamondbacks. The Brewers trading for Ryan O'Hearn of the Orioles. That's a former Royals guy. Passan saying that the best match for the Giants might be Merrill Kelly of the Diamondbacks. That's three Diamondbacks that I've seen mentioned here now on this. The Padres trading for Jaron Duran of the Red Sox. That's another contending team trading away a piece. But one, an article I find even more fascinating, and this one came out a couple days ago. This another ESPN article, this one from Dave Schoenfield of ESPN, where he threw out hypotheticals surrounding some of your name trade deadline players, right? Including Paul Skeens. All right, listen to these offers. He's got possibly the New York Mets offering five prospects, including Jet Williams, who's the number 20 prospect in baseball, Jonah Tong, who's the number 50 prospect in baseball, and then a trio of other players. He's got the Dodgers making an offer, which would make every baseball fan that isn't a Dodgers fan groan incessantly if the Dodgers were to somehow land Paul Skeens, as they would trade away the number 14 prospect in baseball in Dalton Rushing and Josu DePaula, who's the number 17 prospect in baseball, along with three others. But here's one that I find interesting. He throws out a hypothetical of the Detroit Tigers trading for Paul Skeens, giving away Max Clark, who's the number 8 prospect in baseball, Kevin McGonigal, who's the number 11 prospect in baseball, Jackson Jobe, Colt Keith, and Sawyer Gibson Long. Tarik Skubal and Paul Skeens at the top of your rotation in a playoff series? Ugh.
Would not be happy about that.
No.
Would not be happy about that as a Royals
fan.
Do
not sign me up.
I also am just like, Pirates fans just have to hate everything because they finally get this ace, right? And he hasn't even been there for 2 years yet. And they're like, well, where's he going to end up? And it's like, he's still got like 5 to 6 years before he's even available to hit the open market.
He's under team control through 2029.
Like, I'm not sure they're in a rush to trade him at all.
He won't be under, he won't even be arbitration eligible till 2027.
Yeah, I mean, was he 23 years old?
Yeah, I don't think there's any way in the world that the Pirates trade him.
If the Pirates are selling, it's going to be Brian Reynolds. I couldn't imagine they would do it for the optics, but Andrew McCutchen, perhaps.
Perhaps.
You know, you may be looking to Mitch Keller. If that's a pitcher you wanted to trade, that would make more sense. But Paul Skeens, man, it would almost be bad for the game if he ended up on, like, the Yankees right now. It would be like, what's the point in even getting the first pick?
Yeah,
they're
going to
be gone in 2 years.
Sick. It would make me sick. It really would.
It would be bad.
But if I'm Paul Skeens, I'm probably hoping and praying that the Pittsburgh Pirates trade me.
Please, please.
Dude, he's got the best ERA in baseball, and he's 4-7.
I saw something the other day. Somebody asked, when's the last time a guy had more war as a pitcher than wins in a season? And I think you have to go back to 78. Now, I can't remember the exact name, but it's 1970s we're talking about. So it's like, this is rarefied air how little run support he gets.
Yeah, I've never seen... I kind of referencing what you're saying. I saw something that was like they had pitchers that had like a 2.3 WAR but only had two wins, or a 3.4 WAR and three wins. But they said that they had never seen somebody with at least four wins that had a higher WAR than they had wins in a year. Like, that's the pace that Paul Skeens is on right now. A 1.94 ERA across 19 starts. And he's only won four games. He's got a 4.8 WAR, and he's 4-7.
I mean, the joke used to be about DeGrom, right? When he was with the Mets, that he never got run support. This is on a whole nother level.
Or
even Greinke in Kansas City, where it was like he never gets runs. This is on a level we've never seen. Like,
it's despicable.
This past Sunday, he starts the game, 1-0 loss.
Yeah. Goes eight innings. He went eight innings and got the loss. He went eight innings, gave up one run, and lost 1-0.
It's hilarious because I have him on my fantasy baseball team, and I always see, like, he had 10 strikeouts, but he got the loss. And I'm like, gave up one run. I'm like, really?
Yeah. Dude's got 100.
If I'm Paul Skeens, I want out. As a baseball fan, though, I think it's better that he stay there and not go to a super team like the Yankees or the Dodgers.
A 1.94 ERA.
It's nuts.
125 strikeouts to only 30 walks. He's got an ERA plus of 2.20. His whip is a 0.92. Home runs per nine of 0.4, which is the best in the National League. And he's got a losing record. Not just a losing record, three more losses than wins. Disgusting. And what's even more disgusting is that there's a world that exists where Paul Skeens and Tarik Skubal are in the same pitching rotation. Please, God, no. And especially not in the AL Central. Please, no. He goes down the list further, and he's got Ronald Acuna Jr. as another possible trade deadline target.
Wow.
I think it's incredibly unlikely.
I would say that would take a lot.
I mean, he's on one of arguably the most team-friendly deal for a superstar in baseball.
Right, and he's been 17, unbelievable since he got back.
Yeah, $17 million a year, and he's under contract through 2028.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine that.
It's the same guy that went 50-50.
I also don't think the Braves are 100% out of this. Like, I think their talent's still there where they can make a run.
But they do have a lack of depth in the pitching rotation.
For sure.
Right? Acuna's knees are going to be a concern throughout the rest of his career. But he's only 27 years old, and when he's at his best, he's one of the best players in baseball.
Probably a top five player
in baseball. Five-tool player.
Yeah.
He's got the Brewers, the Mariners, and the Tampa Bay Rays throwing out potential deals. Then he's got Byron Buxton of the Minnesota Twins competing in the home run derby. Another guy who, when he's healthy, is one of the best WAR players in baseball. And right now he's on pace for a career high in WAR. He stayed healthy this year, but has had injuries throughout his career. He's got three teams that are could possibly throw a deal out there. The Phillies, the Reds, and the Kansas City Royals. Now, here's a thing that kind of it throws a wrench into his plausible plans here. He's got the Royals offering David Shields, who was the Royals' second-round pick last year, and he's in high A right now, I think, with Columbia, and having a pretty good year. He's got like a sub-3 ERA so far this year in high A. A high school kid, 19 years old. But the other arm that he mentions is Cole Reagans. Not going to happen.
Don't know how I feel about that one.
Yeah. The Twins are not trading for a guy sitting on the 60-day.
Now, in one sense, it kind of makes sense because you got Reagans who has injury history and Buxton who has injury history. So both teams are taking on a similar risk. But an in-division trade of two players that good, you almost never see that happen.
Yeah, not going to happen. 913-586-7965 is our number. Somebody says Tarik, Derek with a T. Tarik Skubal. It's not Tarik Skubal, is it? Is it Tarik?
Some people say Tarik.
I don't know. Who cares?
I think it's Tarik Skubal, but yeah, I mean.
All right, I apologize. Tarik Skubal.
Normally, you just call him Skubal, you know?
I'll take your word for it.
Just take the first name out of it.
Somebody says, I feel bad for Waka, who is one of the only pitchers with a lower run support. Yeah, he's had a difficult year.
The entire starting five has had no run support mostly this year, if we're going to, you know. Bubic has had struggles. I mean, like, Bubic is an all-star with an ERA under 3, and he's 7-6.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, the whole pitching staff
we've really gotten into the era of wins for starting pitchers aren't that big of a deal because of ERA, FIP, those sorts of metrics. But it wasn't that long ago Rick Porcello was winning Cy Young just because he had 20 wins in a season.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Bubic has got a 2.48 ERA. He's 7-6. Seth Lugo has a 2.67 ERA. He's 6-5. Michael Wacha with a 3.83 ERA. He's 4-9. Noah Cameron, a 2.56 ERA. He's 3-4.
If you had a 2.56 on the Dodgers, you probably wouldn't have a loss all season. You know?
Unlikely.
You probably wouldn't, right? Like that lineup or the Yankees or any of those top lineups.
Yeah, that's tough. That's a tough pill to swallow.
It really is.
And again, it goes back to this Royals baseball team this year and how much of a head scratcher it's become because their batting average numbers are up. Their on base percentage numbers are up from last season, right? The pitching staff, as good as it was last year, is somehow better this year, but they have fallen off a cliff with runners in scoring position and is completely thwarted this season. I mean, when you look at having three guys in your rotation with ERAs under 2.7 with Cameron, Bubic, and Lugo. Michael Wacha, who prior to his last two starts had an ERA that was hovering around a 3. Now, his last couple starts have been increasingly difficult. I would say since the calendar turned to June, he's struggled. He had a 5.4 ERA in June, and in his only start so far here in the month of July, he gave up 4 and 4 innings against the Diamondbacks. So his ERA is at close to a 6 over the course of his last 6 starts. you look at, I mean, Michael Lorenzen's had a rough go of it this year. Cole Reagan's, in the limited amount of time that he was able to pitch, kind of struggled. But then you look at this the bullpen, man. Daniel Lynch has got a 2.6 ERA. Carlos Estevez is hovering around a 2 ERA. Lucas Ursig has a 2.04. Steven Cruz, a 2.04. And you're two games below 500? It's just a strange year. Somebody says the Braves are definitely going to trade Acuña. Ozuna? Ozuna, maybe.
I could see them trading Ozuna.
Ozuna, maybe.
Ozuna makes
sense.
If they feel like they're not that into the race, that for sure could be one they do.
But Acuña, I don't see that
one happening. Acuña would take a gigantic haul.
Yeah. No question.
Like a Paul Skeens.
Right.
Like that would be the type of thing you do.
913-586-7965 is our number. You're listening to After Hours. Logan Weber alongside Jackson Ogden. This is 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
After Hours on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber alongside producer Jackson Ogden doing a great job. His first time behind the desk. That thing's running. That's a good song selection too, though.
Appreciate it.
I'm vibing with that.
Appreciate it.
That's a good one. All right, we're talking trade possibilities. Just throwing them all out there, right? Everybody's throwing darts at the board, seeing what happens. We've got ESPN's Jeff Passan and David Schoenfield throwing out names. There is one name, however, that I keep hearing about over and over and over again when it comes to the Kansas City Royals and bringing this person to the team. And I have to be honest, I am against it. I am completely and utterly and unequivocally against it. Can we please stop running with the possibility of Brian Reynolds coming to Kansas City? I don't like it. Stop. Okay, yeah, the guy was an all-star last year. He hit 275. He's a career 270 hitter. But he's on the wrong side of 30 now. He's hitting 227 this year. Not to mention, the guy's expensive. So Brian Reynolds, back, I think it was 2013, I want to say, or 2023, excuse me, I can't even remember what year it was, that he signed a massive contract, 8 years, $106 million. So if the Royals were to trade for him, the Royals would be under contract with him through 2030. He would be 35 years old when his contract were to come to an end with a club option in 2031. Next year in 2026, the Royals would have to pay him $14.25 million. That would jump up to $15.25 million in 2027 and beyond. So you're telling me that the Royals make this move, trade for Brian Reynolds, a guy who's hitting 227 this year and is now on the other side of 30, and you're going to be under contract with him for 5 more years after this year, paying him at least $14.25 million a year? Absolutely not. I think it's a bad idea. How is he that big of an improvement over what you're already doing in your outfield?
Is he an improvement? Like, would you rather have Kyle Isbell at the plate or him right now? Is there that big of a difference?
I mean, Kyle Isbell's going to be your center fielder.
Right. I'm just saying, though, in general, like, would I rather be paying a guy nothing to get bad production or be paying a guy $14.2 million a year for the next half decade to get bad value?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I've seen that he's been thrown out. He's been a productive player in the past. This year, he's a negative war. Like, I don't see why that's the name that's getting thrown out.
Yeah, 10 home runs, 46 RBIs. Not bad through 88 games. Not for a guy that's ever had tremendous power numbers in his career. But coming into this season, his career low in batting average was .262 back in 2022. That's not counting the COVID-shortened 2020 year. He hit .189, but it was the COVID year. But he's hitting .227 this year. And it would be one thing if he was 26, 27 years old and he was just, he had, you know, had a down year after several really good years of production. But there's always going to be some hesitance with a guy that is now, you know, he's hit 30 years old and is having the worst year of his career. The age correlation there is nerve-wracking. Somebody says, Reynolds has control for more years. He's a perfect fit for this year and next year's push. If Sherman wants to spend $15 million a year, that's okay. He's on the Pirates, which would be depressing to hit for that team, as if hitting for the Royals is just so much fun right now. Put him on a contender. Royals aren't a contender. I hate to be the one to tell you that. Pirates have been, years the Pirates have been above 500. He's been awesome. Brian Reynolds is basically 2024 MJ Melendez. Oh, that's a different person. Somebody says Brian Reynolds is basically 2024 MJ Melendez with no upside. I mean, for his career, he's been better than MJ Melendez.
I was going to say, I don't know if I'd go that low, but he's
I just don't, I don't think it makes sense. I don't. I mean, because Brian Reynolds, throughout his career, has primarily, I mean, he's kind of played all over the outfield, right? He's a left fielder, which I don't dislike, right? I don't think the Royals need to trade for a right fielder. I think they need to figure that one out in-house by working with Jack Caglione. And hopefully this series against Pittsburgh kind of opened the door for him a little bit, but the struggles are obviously evident. But he's your guy for the right field position. So trading for a right fielder, I don't think, is in the best interest of the future of this team. But, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I think there's two questions you have to ask. Are the Royals a contender? No. Right now, currently sitting, I think we would both say no.
A postseason, like making the postseason? Yes.
Okay, maybe a postseason.
But contending, meaning winning a World Series?
Could they win the pennant?
No world exists.
Would getting Brian Reynolds push you to that point? I don't believe so.
No.
I don't think that pushes the... I don't think that does anything. So
that doesn't move the needle.
In my opinion, if you're going to make a splash at the deadline, it should be because you believe that player can really make a difference for you to get over the top. That you're there and you just need a little more. That's what Ben Zobrist was in 2015. That's
right.
What Johnny Cueto was in 2015. Even last year, that's what Urseg was for the Royals. I know they didn't win the pennant, but the bullpen was not doing well. They didn't have a closer. He came over. There's no way they beat Baltimore in the wild card without Urseg. So, I mean, I don't think this Royals team should be going and looking at a guy like Brian Reynolds thinking, this guy could get us over the top, because I don't believe that.
Yeah, he's hitting .227 this year. And, you know, just for argument's sake here, Hunter Renfroe hit .229 for the Royals last year.
I thought I was done hearing that name, Logan.
Hate to be that guy, but we were all up in arms about Hunter Renfroe being in the lineup every day.
We're done talking about Mr. Renfroe these days.
He hit .229 last year, and now we have people advocating for a guy hitting .227, making $15 million a year coming to Kansas City. I think it's ridiculous. Just one man's opinion.
I agree. So two man's opinion.
All right. 913-586-7965 is our number. We're going to come back and wrap up our show this evening. Coming up next, you're listening to After Hours. Logan Weber alongside Jackson Ogden on 96.5 The Fan. It's your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
I'm through talking about hypotheticals. No more talking about who the Royals might trade away, who they might trade for. Let's talk about the present. Let's talk about the guys that are on this club right now in the three-game series they've got coming up starting tomorrow at Kauffman Stadium against the New York Mets. A big three-game series, right? Royals are sitting two games below 500 after a remarkable stretch here over the last 2 weeks. After, you know, they lose two out of three against the Dodgers, but played okay in that series. They come back and they split four against the Mariners. Then they take two out of three against the Diamondbacks on the road and then sweep the Pirates. Now you've got three against the Mets. National League team, a really good National League team at that, featuring some very, very good players. Tomorrow night, it's going to be Michael Wacha pitching against Kodai Senga, who has been insane this year. but is coming off of an injury, right? He had the hamstring issue. He was on the 15-day, but so far this year, he's been phenomenal. 7-3 with a 1.47 ERA. So what does he look like coming off the injury against Waka, who really, really good to start the year, but has struggled mightily since the start of June? I mean, he had a 2.88 ERA at the end of May. His ERA is a 3.83 now. It's leaped a full point since June 7th. We'll see if he can right the ship against the guy coming off the injured list who was a dominant starting pitcher before that. Then you got Saturday's matchup, 3:10, first pitch, Michael Lorenzen pitching against Frankie Montas, who, again, he hasn't pitched much this year. He had some injury issues that he was dealing with, too. He's 1-1 in three starts, a 6.14 ERA. And Lorenzen is another interesting situation. He's 5-8, 4.61 ERA, but he is coming off of his best start of the year against the Diamondbacks last Sunday. Seven complete innings of scoreless baseball. He only gave up two hits, struck out seven. And then Sunday, it's going to be Noah Cameron on the bump, who has become human in the last month after the remarkable start he had to his major league career, but is still pitching with an ERA south of 2.7. Somebody said Waka has been fine. You obviously don't watch the games. Waka has been fine through the first four innings of a baseball game in the last month and a half. But it always feels like with Michael Waka, he gets left out there one inning too long. And in that final inning, things start to fall apart a little bit. He leaves a couple runners on. The bullpen comes in and they give up the runs and Waka gets credited for it. So I don't think you're entirely wrong, but Waka has had his fair share. This is not the same Michael Waka that we saw in April and May. So let's not kid ourselves here. This is a winnable series for the Royals. I mean, Kodai Senga coming off the injury, right? There's always going to be a question mark that surrounds that. Montas has not been great since coming back himself. You know, he's only pitched in three games this year. So he's still trying to return to form a little bit. I don't mind the pitching matchup for the Royals. If they can continue to hit the ball the way that they have hit it over the course of really, I would say, the last four games, be great. I'm of the belief that if this Royals team can score four runs a game, they'll win of the majority of the games they have remaining with how good this pitching staff has been. Top to bottom, starters, bullpen. And what a world that would be. If the Royals were to win two out of three here against the Mets and you're sitting one game below 500 going into the All-Star break, or somehow, some way they were to sweep this really good New York Mets team and all of a sudden you're above 500 at the All-Star break, the mindset shifts dramatically. Because that's where we're sitting at the moment, right? 21 days, right? July 31st is the trade deadline. What the Royals' record looks like as that deadline approaches will be the determining factor in where this team decides to go. You look at where they go after the All-Star break. They got these three games against the Mets. After the All-Star break, you got three against Miami, a team that is certainly going to be a seller at the deadline. A team that I believe if the Royals are going to be buyers, they should really contact Miami. That's just my opinion. When you look at Kyle Stowers and Dane Myers in the outfield, two very, very likable options at left field for this Royals team. Stowers is a little bit more of a power bat, going to be more expensive. Dane Myers is slashing, man, 329. An OBP of over 360. It's going to be a massive series here for the Kansas City Royals. Starts tomorrow night. For my producers tonight, Julio Sanchez and Jackson Ogden, I want to thank you guys for joining us. I'm Logan Weber. Appreciate you guys in the text line as always. This has been another edition of After Hours with Logan Weber. We out.
Listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.